Hello and welcome to the 2016 Maui Jim Maui Invitational Coaches Teleconference. As a reminder, this call is being recorded on Tuesday, July 19, 2016. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for today's conference, Dan Mihalik. You may begin.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you, and thank you all media for joining us today. I'd welcome you to interact with all the coaches on today's call. I'd ask that any follow-up questions be limited to one per person, and if time permits, please queue in for any additional questions. An audio file of today's teleconference will be posted online at MauiInvitational.com as soon as possible following the conclusion of today's call. The first coach on today's call is North Carolina's Roy Williams. He will make his sixth head coaching appearance at the Maui Jim Maui Invitational, tied for the most all-time. This will be the Tar Heels' event-leading seventh appearance in Maui, having won three tournament titles. North Carolina will face Chaminade in its first game on Maui. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. We're excited about it. Needless to say, it's my favorite way to open college basketball.
Great. Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call to media questions.
If you have a question online, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first call comes from Andrew Carter with Raleigh News. Your line is open.
Hey, Roy, hope your summer's going well. Just wanted to see if I could get an update about your right knee, how it's doing, how you're feeling after the surgery.
All right, Andrew, it's not perfect yet. I'm walking almost without a limp. I don't have the stamina to do my 3.5 to 5 miles yet. It's still a little discomfort, but I'm 7 weeks in, and I think that everybody tells me I'm doing great. It's just it's not feeling great for me, and I'd like for it to be a lot better, a lot quicker, but it's part of the rehab process. I'm doing a ton of rehab and really looking for everything to be very positive about it.
Yeah, and what is that rehab process like for you? And then I know you were thinking about getting the same thing done with the left. Where do things stand with that one?
Okay. The rehab is it's a daily proposition. You got to do something every day. But Doug Halverson, my trainer, and Walt Beaver, my surgeon, have worked very well together and told me what I need to be doing. Just about every town I've been in this summer, I find a PT clinic and go over there and get some work done, whether it's Charleston, South Carolina, Augusta, Georgia, wherever it is, I'm finding a place to go and get some work done. But and then the other knee, yes, at one point I was thinking about possibly doing it later than summer, and I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to put it off.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Your next question comes from John McCain with the Herald Sun. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach.
John, you doing well?
Hey, pretty good, sir. Let me follow up on your knee. Last season when you were limping around, was it more out of pain or was it more just not being strong enough and you had to sort of limp around from your previous surgeries?
It was just discomfort and pain. There was hardly a step that I took that felt good. And so that was one of the reasons I went ahead with the total knee replacement on the right side. I was tired of limping. I was tired of hurting. And so hopefully this is going to cure a great deal of that.
Was it much of a distraction for you as you went throughout the season?
It was a distraction only that I was doing things that I'd never done. Last year was my 43rd year as a head coach, and it's the first time in my life I've ever sat down on a basketball court. Even at water break, I would always go over and on the sideline and lay down and do some stretches for my back. But as far as sitting down on a basketball court, I've never used a chair in my entire life, never sat down on a scorer's table or anything like that. So that was a very unusual thing for me and one that I didn't enjoy as much. So I want to make sure I don't have to do that same thing again this year.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it, man.
All right, John. Thank you.
All right.
Your next question comes from Brad Sherman with Maui News. Your line is open.
Hi, Coach. Good morning.
Good morning.
So obviously you mentioned sort of a fun way to start the season, but you guys have come here and you've had a lot of success. You have a chance to become the winningest program in tournament history. Can you tell me a little bit about what does a record like that mean to the program and just what's sort of the secret to being successful, avoiding distractions, that kind of thing on a trip like this?
Well, it is a long trip, and you've got to remain focused on why you're going, so you need experienced players that have been through it before. We have been successful sometimes, and sometimes we haven't been as successful, but I just think it's a wonderful tournament. The first time that I went, I thought it was the greatest preseason tournament I'd ever been involved in, and almost will not leave the islands until they promise me that I can come back 4 years later. But it's a wonderful event for me and my staff, and I think it is, I think I heard them say, the sixth time that we've been involved, and I've really enjoyed every one of them.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Andrew Jones with Tar Heel Illustrated. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach. I hope you're doing well.
Thanks, Andrew.
What is the mindset? You guys are going out to play Hawaii, actually, before the tournament, so that's four games out there. What was the thinking that went into that? Because I know you used to stop off in California and play a game before heading out there.
Yeah, I like to break the trip up and stop and play somebody on the West Coast. And the other times it's just fallen in place very easily, whether it was Santa Clara. I think we played Santa Clara twice, Long Beach. You know, so I've played different teams, and I still like that idea. But Hawaii has some problems getting games, and the NCAA will let you stop and play Hawaii on the way to Maui and give you a free game. So it was a pretty easy decision.
How long are you guys going to actually be in Hawaii on this trip?
Right now, I have no idea, Andrew. We haven't made those plans of leaving, and I know that we'll get, I think we play on Friday or Saturday, probably Friday against Hawaii, so we'll leave a couple of days before and then be there the entire week, and then hopefully to figure out a way to hustle back to see the football game the following Thursday night.
Thanks a lot. Hope you heal up soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
And we'll have time for one more question for Coach.
Okay, your next question comes from Greg Barnes with Inside Carolina. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach, how are you doing?
Good, Greg. Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to check and see if you've been able to complete your summer practices. I know you guys get four. And if so, kind of what's the approach and what do you try to get out of those practices?
You know, we've gone four times. Yesterday was the last one for between hour 20 and hour 30, and then leave some time for some extra shooting for them. But my goal has always been, number one, to let the freshmen understand what practice is going to be like. Number two, talk to them and get them to understand secondary break. And then three, the pace of the game that we want to play with. And so try to emphasize to them that they may think they're in shape, but they're nowhere near in shape to play. And then for the older guys, upperclassmen, just put them in a position to see how they've improved, what they've done, and allow them to help coach the freshmen on as well.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your summer.
Okay. Everybody have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Coach. The next coach on today's call is Wisconsin's Greg Gard, who is entering his second season as the Badgers head coach. This will be Wisconsin's third all-time appearance in Maui, with Gard serving as an assistant in the team's last trip to the event in 2009. The Badgers will open tournament play against Tennessee. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Coach, if you want to give us a quick opening statement regarding your matchup against Tennessee and the field in general, then we'll take some questions from the media.
Well, obviously, the field in general, as we knew, you know, who was there beforehand. I just found out actually a little while earlier this morning we were matched up with Tennessee. But the field in general is terrific. Obviously, it's been a topic of conversation for us with our guys for a long time, and we're excited about making the trip out there. And we've obviously been there before, but none of our current players have been there. So, and then obviously the matchup with Tennessee, I don't know a lot about them individually, but I obviously know Coach Barnes is a terrific coach. We played against him at Texas when he was there twice, and really does a terrific job. And I know he's got things going in the right direction at Tennessee. So, you get into this field, obviously, and when you're in this tournament, you know that it's going to be a terrific matchup no matter who you play, and we're excited about it.
Thank you, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call for media questions.
Again, if you have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, there's a question from Ken Davis with TodayUSA.com. Your line is open.
Okay. Coach, since you have had experience in this tournament, what's the key to getting over there and getting acclimated to everything and then, you know, being able to play three games like that?
Well, I think you try to time your travel there to be proper in terms of the amount of days you get there ahead of time. And we'll have played 2 days before we leave. I think we're leaving Friday the 18th. So we'll get in there and have a couple days to acclimate. Obviously, the hour adjustment is critical for us. But then obviously the adjusting to not only the sight lines and just how it is playing there. And I think it's an easy adjustment because of the size of the arena and the venue. But I think more than anything that the competition and who you're going to play against is the biggest thing, that you have to be ready for that and making sure you're set from the beginning. But hopefully, like I said, hopefully everything goes well with our travel over there. We've got a large contingency coming with us. So we're looking forward, obviously, to that and that trip and with all the fans and donors that are coming with the team. But I think most importantly, when you go to get ready to play that first game, make sure you're ready to go. And I know we have the early one, so that'll be an adjustment. I mean, that's 4:30 Central Time a.m. In terms of when we're on ready to tip it off there. So that'll be something we'll prepare for, not practicing maybe at 4:30 here before we go, but definitely doing some early morning or earlier morning practices as we go through the fall.
How do you compare this field to others that you've seen out there?
Well, they've always been really good. I mean, and I think anytime, whether you're a fan or you're a participant of it, anytime, this is a marquee event of the preseason exempt tournaments, and it always has terrific teams. And obviously, you always have the element of Chaminade being in it, and the upset capability that they have. And I would say they've done a terrific job there with that program over the years, and it always makes for one of the best, if not the best, preseason exempt tournaments in the fall.
Thanks, Coach.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This is a question from Jim Polson with Wisconsin State. Your line is open.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Hey, you're about halfway through the summer session. Can you just give us an update how what you've seen, the progress your team has made during this offseason?
Yeah, I think, we've got a couple new guys in Ford and Trice that have adjusted and fit in very well. And then getting Van Vliet and Pritzel back into the mix in terms of knowing what they're – or trying to identify what their role is going to be, and that'll be ongoing through the fall. But I really mixed things up this summer in the 7 practices we've had. We've done a lot of different things. We've drilled a lot. We've played a little. We've done a lot of skill work. And I've really mixed groups around, whether it's been one-on-one competition or groups of 5. So I've really thrown them curveballs every single day that we've been in the gym, and they've handled it well. So I just wanted to, touch on a lot of different areas. Obviously, the 2 hours we have can't be enough in terms of what they want to work on or what they need to work on when they're in there on their own. So it's kind of giving them a taste of what we want to do as a team, what they need to work on individually. But I love what I've seen from a standpoint of how they look physically. Guys that have needed to get stronger have, guys that have needed to maybe adjust body composition have. It's going to be very competitive as we get back into school in September and start practices, late September, early October. And that's exactly what we want. I mean, competition is very good, and I think there'll be a lot of guys fighting for minutes, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to build and grow through the fall and develop more depth. Stay healthy, obviously, is a huge key. But I like the direction they're going and what they've accomplished and their mindset this summer.
Craig, last time we talked, you didn't really know what to expect from Pritzel. What is thought about him?
Hi, Rusty. I think there's no doubt it's evident he hasn't played in a year. He can still make shots, and obviously that part of his game has come back pretty quickly, but it's missing all the defensive work, all the timing, all the things that go in, the other things that don't involve shooting that make you a complete player, and that's something he's working back. Conditioning is still something he's trying to get back, but in terms of the injury itself, I think he's feeling pretty good and pretty confident, and it's just a matter of trying to make up for lost time in all those other areas, and that's what I've tried to emphasize with him, to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, and to not rush and get frustrated with yourself when maybe things don't go as well or you don't quite have the timing or the speed of the game down yet. And that'll come in time. I mean, the main thing is for him to work his way back at the pace that the doctors and trainers want him to, and so far he's done that pretty well. It's just obviously been frustrating for him because he expects to play at a high level immediately, and that's not going to happen when you miss that much time.
Thank you.
We have time for one more question for Coach. All right. Hearing no additional questions, we'll let you go, Coach. Thanks for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
All right. Thanks. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Coach. The next coach on today's call is UConn's Glenn Miller, who is entering his fifth season as the program's associate head coach. The Huskies will be making their fourth all-time appearance at the Maui Jim Maui Invitational, where UConn has claimed the title in each of his previous two appearances in 2005 and 2010. UConn will face Oklahoma State in its opening tournament contest. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. If you want to get things started with a quick opening statement regarding your opening round matchup against Oklahoma State, then we'll take questions from the media.
We're very excited. This is the premier early season tournament in the country, and as you know, we've had terrific success here in the past in 2005 and 2011. We've been fortunate enough to go 8-1, and it's really served as a springboard for us for going on to having a great success. And you know, it's a great barometer either way you look at it, whether you win or you struggle a little bit, as to where you are and where you need to go. It's a great team bonding trip, great chance for quality RPI wins, and you know, it really mirrors the NCAA tournament in the sense that you're playing against great programs. You have a quick turnaround. You have varying styles of play. So we've always looked at it as, you know, again, great barometer to where we are. And, of course, we want to be a championship team, a championship program. And it tells us what we need to do, what work we need to get done, and how good we can be. So we're excited. And as far as Oklahoma State, terrific program. Brad Underwood is a terrific coach. I mean, 89-14, three straight NCAA tournament appearances at Stephen F. Austin. He plays, you know, it's a style of play. It's going to require a lot of discipline on our part to defend their stuff. It's a read and react offense. He runs a tremendous program and a great system. So it's going to be a challenge. And they had some adversity last year with injuries. They have good guards. You know, if they're healthy, they're a lot better team than the record showed last year. So it will be a great challenge.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call for questions.
Okay, if you have a question, you can press stars as the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Brad Shermer with Maui News. Your line is open.
Hi, Coach. How are you doing?
Doing great, Brad.
You mentioned the chance to get some valuable RPI matchups. When the bracket is announced, and then even as the tournament goes along, how much do you kind of root for, you know, getting kind of a tough road? And how much you don't want to, I'm obviously not disparaging Chaminade, but how much do you kind of want to avoid playing a team outside of D1 on a trip like this? You know, that's obviously part of the value of it is for the RPI value for the tournament later on.
Well, you know, every game is important to us. We have guarantee games against low major teams, and we, you know, have to prepare and understand that on a given night, any team can beat you. Every game is an opportunity to enhance your resume and move forward and build towards the NCAA tournament, towards a conference championship. So, you know, we're just very excited to be in this tournament and have an opportunity to play against quality teams. And you just take it game by game. If, you know, we happen to play Chaminade, I mean, that's a game you got to prepare for. And they're certainly capable of beating, you know, any team in the tournament. And, you know, so we look at each game on an individual basis. And each game is very important to us.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Again, if you have a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Gavin Keefe with New London Day. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach Miller.
Gavin, how are you?
Great.
Good.
So, you, obviously, you have a young team going in. How can a tournament like this kind of help the growth of a young team?
Well, again, I mean, you go back to 2010, and, you know, we thought we had a chance to be pretty good, and but we really weren't sure where we were at. And, you know, we had a great performance in that tournament and came away from that tournament with a championship and really a belief going forward about how good we could be. And we certainly had room for improvement, but it was a great springboard that year, 2010. And, you know, I just think it's great early on to play in a tournament like this because you're always building, trying to get better every day. And, you know, again, whether you struggle or have success like we did in 2010, it's going to give you answers and it's going to give you a direction as a coaching staff and as a program on what you need to do to get better, because ultimately that's what has to happen. You have to get better as the season progresses and get yourself playing the best, get yourself in a position to get into the NCAA tournament and be playing your best basketball at the end of the season as you enter the NCAA tournament.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, no further questions at this time. Oh, we do have one.
Looks like we could...
Sorry, we do have one from Ken Davis with todaysyou.com. Your line is open.
Hey, Glenn, how's it going?
Doing great, Ken. Good to talk to you.
Can you just kind of explain how the summer sessions have been working here with Kevin out with the USA basketball, how you guys split up the workout sessions and the recruiting mix?
Well, we're working hard, and you know, we have a great staff, experience on the staff, enthusiasm. So we've really, you know, as you know, we've got 2 hours a week, so we've mixed in team workouts as well as individual development workouts, so where we're, you know, really working on a guy's skill level. In improving in certain areas, and you know, we've been able to implement some offensive sets and things, and we've had great workouts. It's just terrific to have these guys up here for the summer. They're getting a head start academically. Our freshmen, some of them will earn 6 credits, others will earn 9 credits before they start their, you know, traditional fall semester. And, you know, so from an academic and athletic standpoint, it's just a great jump start to get them here, get them acclimated to what college life is all about.
When we had a chance to meet them a couple of weeks ago, they're very enthusiastic.
They are.
And then they're just having a lot of fun, it seems like.
Yeah, they call themselves the top five, and, you know, they're going to get a dose of reality soon when we really get after it as to how hard you have to work. But they have talent. They have great attitudes. They have passion for the game. They want to be in the gym every day. And, you know, beyond the limited 2 hours per week that we get, I mean, these guys are just living in the gym and making progress in the weight room too. So it's just wonderful that we can have them here and get going with them early.
Thanks, Glenn. See you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
And we have time for one more question for Coach.
Again, press star 1 if you have a question. Nope, there are no questions
at
this time.
Yep. All right, not seeing any more. Coach Miller, thanks for stepping in and joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Okay, you too. Thanks for having me. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye. The next coach on today's call is Georgetown's John Thompson III. He embarks on his 13th season with the Hoyas, who will compete in the Maui Jim Maui Invitational for the third time in program history, with the last coming in 2011. The Hoyas will take on Oregon in their first tournament game. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. And we are very excited to participate in this tournament. You know, it's the premier, what I will call preseason tournament, pre-conference tournament, I believe. And as Glenn was just saying, you know, you get a chance to, regardless of how the tournament turns out, you know, it's you're going to get a gauge on where you are and how you have to progress and where you have to progress. And, you know, the competition this year, as is always the case, is outstanding. And so, you know, we're looking forward to getting over there and kind of getting a gauge on where we have to go as we march towards the Big East.
Great. Thank you, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call for media questions.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This is a question from Ron Bailey with HoyaReport.com. Your line is open.
Coach, talk about the preparation that you're afforded before this tournament. Do you get a couple extra days? And if not, how do you crunch in the work you need to do to be able to perform well in this tournament?
Do you mean just – hey, Ron, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Do you mean just playing games back-to-back?
Yes.
Back-to-back?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously going into it, you know who you – we know you have a terrific team with Oregon in the opening round. And then you know who the two teams might be to follow. So, you know, we'll do some pre-prep probably for both teams, meaning Tennessee and Wisconsin, before we get out there. But, mm-hmm. you know, in all, it's good tournament preparation because there is quick turnarounds. And the turnaround, the next opponent is a quality opponent. And so, you know, we will, prior to getting out there, we'll have gone over possible second round opponents, some of their stuff, some of their sets. But, you know, I think it's just a lot of it is as we go through it, just the kids getting used. That's why this thing is beneficial this time of the year. It helps them prepare for whether it's the Big East tournament, the NCAA tournament, on the quick turnarounds.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Steve Vins with Register Guard. Your line is open.
Yeah, hey, John, just kind of talk back of your memories of playing Oregon a couple of years ago over in South Korea and just kind of what you know what Dana's got coming back next year.
Well, I mean, with his teams, you know, they're one of these programs, they just reload. You know, and so the South Korea, I mean, that was such a unique experience, you know, traveling over there, playing on the military base. You know, so much of that game was about giving back to our servicemen as it was getting our teams ready to go. You know, we go out there, close game. I think I want to say the score was 82-75. It was a, you know, 7-5, 7-8 point game. And one thing, you know, is they have weapons. They're going to, from their offensive perspective, our defensive perspective, there are going to be many people that we're going to have to limit. We're going to have to stop. They can hurt you in so many different ways. And you just have to be ready for that.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Adam Zagoria with Sportsnet New York. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, Adam, doing well.
Good. I'm just kind of looking at the overall strength of the Big East with some of these guys testing the waters like Josh Hart and Trevon Blue and some of these guys coming back. You know, how tough does that make the league, and do you think it helps recruiting to have – you know, guys test the waters and other guys go to the NBA like Whitehead and Bentel and those guys?
Well, you know, in general, you know, I think our league, and I think this year the world will see, you know, this year we're going to be one of the best, if not the best, basketball conference in the country. I think a lot of times people talk about the Big Five, the Power Five, but we're a basketball league. And once you're just talking about the sport of basketball, you know, we have the national champion in our league. And I think this year, you know, top to bottom, the Big East will have some really high-quality teams. And when you have good teams, when you have good players, you're going to have people that leave early, you know, like Dunn. You know, you're going to have – and Whitehead and can keep going. You're going to have players that test the waters and decide to come back to school. But that's happened when you have the programs that the Big East have, when you have the players and the coaches that the Big East has.
And if I could just follow up real quick with the ACC tournament also coming to New York in March the same week. I know Coach Willard made some comments last year that they were just visiting or just renting, and it's really your town, the Big town. You know, just what are your thoughts on the two leagues competing in the postseason there?
Well, don't you agree with Kevin?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But they'll be here for 2 years.
I just wanted to see what you'd say. No, I mean, the Big East is synonymous with New York City and Madison Square Garden. And the fact they'll be across town, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, I think that when most people think of the Big East tournament, and when you think of postseason conference tournaments, New York City, Madison Square Garden is synonymous with the Big East, and that's not going to change.
All right, thanks, Coach. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Your next question comes from Paulo Santamaria with La Jolla. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So looking at, I mean, obviously the field, like, stocked with power conference teams, and obviously last year you talked about wanting to slate the non-conference schedule to put in some tests. But obviously coming off of last year, how are you looking to kind of balance, you know, the tough tests with some games where you can kind of experiment and then tinker with your lineups and X's and O's?
Well, I think that's the challenge of every preseason, where you want to put yourself and your team in a position where you are tested and can find your true colors and find out how you can grow, you know, and then balance. But you don't want every game to be a war. You don't want every game, you know, to be so brutal that you can't work on different situations, work on different lineups, as you mentioned. So, you know, as we put, and you may have heard me say this, I mean, putting the schedule together is an inexact science. And you just don't know, you know, some years, some groups will respond to adversity different than others earlier in the season. Some teams can go out and play a very difficult preseason schedule where you're getting possibly beat up and grow from that. Other teams will be demoralized by that. And so it's trying to just figure out what you think the mentality or the composition of your team is and what's best. You know, traditionally we've always had a very tough preseason. And you don't come to this tournament, a tournament of this caliber, this quality, with the teams and the programs that are here, if you don't want to be tested.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Your next question comes from Ron Bailey with HoyaReport.com. Your line is open.
Thanks. Hey, Coach, who do you think Oregon best mirrors in conference? If you had to name a couple of teams, who do they play like the most?
Oh, wow, Ron, I hate doing that. in fact, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I think that they I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. But, you know, they have their own unique brand, their own mm-hmm. unique style. And so I'm not sure who in our conference I'd say they are most similar to.
Okay. Thank you.
We have time for one more question for Coach.
Again, press star one if you have a question. Nope, there are no further questions. Oh, we have one from Ken Davis with todaysview.com. Your line is open.
Hey, John, how you going?
Good, how you doing?
Good. You mentioned having the national champion in your conference, and, you know, on the night that Villanova wins it, everybody says this is a great thing for the Big East, and it's really going to help the conference. What can you notice? Is there anything tangible that you've been able to notice how that's been, you know, good for the rest of the teams in the league?
You know, I think in general, you know, the narrative, you know, probably as recent as going into last year has been, you know, A, the stability of the Big East, B, will the Big East ever get back to what many people, you know, will call the old Big East. And I think that when Villanova goes out and does that, that narrative has gone away, you know, because you see that a Big East school can and did win the national championship. And you see, and not just that, I mean, you look at our conference, I think Xavier spent most of last year in the top 10. You know, you have Chris Dunn, one of the best players, if not the best player in the country. And so I just think that, you know, as a league, as a conference, our coaches, our ADs, our commissioner has said all along, you know, we're not going anywhere. Now, Nova goes out and wins the national championship, and I think the rest of the world can say, you know what, they may be right. They're not going anywhere.
Have you noticed it in recruiting?
In recruiting, I don't necessarily think recruiting was, if you look across our conference, I don't think the recruiting conference-wide had been down. So I think we'll figure out who you get this year, which will answer that question more so than right now. We're right in the midst of the recruiting season, so
gotcha.
It's too early to tell that.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate the time, and thank you for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you. Looking forward to getting out there.
All right. Yep. Next up on the call is Maui Jim Maui Invitational Tournament Chairman Dave Odom. Odom has served as the tournament's chairman since 2009 and has spent more than 30 years in college basketball. He was assistant coach on the 1982 Virginia team that was upset by Chaminade, the game that led to the inspiration of the annual tournament. Aloha, Dave, and thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Interesting to hear the coach's comments so far. I look forward to the next four after my time with them. Let me just begin by saying that we're very, very proud of the field that we put together for the Maui Jim Maui Invitational this coming year. You know, my goal is tournament chairman and in charge of putting these fields together is to look at last year's field and see if we can better that in the coming year. I don't know if we've done that or not. You know, we'll have to play that out. Some people have looked at it that we've kind of consulted with and said it's one of the best fields that they have ever seen in a MTE-type tournament. So, but again, we'll have to play that out. We'll have to see. But very easily, it could end up proving to be that with the number of former champions that we've got coming back who have played in the tournament numerous times. They know how to play in the tournament. They know what's involved in the travel. They know how to get their teams adjusted. I think that bodes very well for the competitiveness that I think we're going to see in the early round and possibly even in the second round. One thing that I would mention, and I'll turn it over to any of the media for questions, you know, people ask me all the time, how do you – after you've chosen the field, how do you set the pairings? And again, our goal is to set the pairings in the first round that would be kind of geographically spread out across the mainland portion of our country, and at the same time create some compelling type games that would excite people in the first round. And once you get past the first round, obviously things pretty much are thrown into a win-lose type category. And not much we can do that. But I really do try to get what you would call the promise of some great second-round games. And I think we have that as well if the favorites hold up. But there's certainly a fascination with, as we know, with upsets as – Chaminade from year to year promises to be a team that can pull out an upset every now and then. So we're excited about it. It's going to be a really, really good tournament, and we're excited about having all seven of the mainland teams come to what we consider to be the best travel destination island in the world, and that would be the island of Maui.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call to media.
Again, if you have a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Here's a question from Brad Sherman with Maui News. Your line is open.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Hello, I'm Brian.
Coach, it seems like in years past, in general, the Pac-12 team or team in the Western time zone frequently has that the last game of the day, and then on that first day, obviously, it sort of meshes with where their home-based fans are. Was there any particular reason that that Oregon is playing, you know, a little bit earlier, and also that North Carolina, obviously, in the East, is playing one of the playing the latest game on that first day? Was there any particular reason that played out like that?
Well, yeah, I can tell you that ESPN is a terrific partner to we at Kemper-Leslie. And though they rarely have any kind of suggestions about the pairing, once we give the pairings to them, we do offer them the opportunity to talk to us about airtime and ratings and things of that nature. When we look at let's just take the North Carolina Chaminade matchup, when you look at the rest of the field, I think it's not even arguable that the team that can best carry East Coast ratings at 11:30 at night on the East Coast is North Carolina. And so
right, okay.
I talked to ESPN about that. That was something that they felt would be very helpful to them. And we certainly want to do everything we possibly can to be cooperative to ESPN in that regard. And then again, no team will carry Hawaii like Chaminade will. So that to us made a lot of sense to put North Carolina last because of the television ratings. And as far as Oregon and Georgetown are concerned, Georgetown, again, is an East Coast team, and, you know, they're going to be playing at 5 in the afternoon on the East Coast, and we felt that was a proper time for them. The 12 noon start in Hawaii, you know, we felt like it was just the right thing to do, and again, ESPN was very, very appreciative of our willingness to make that adjustment.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Brant Wilkerson-New with Greensboro News. Your line is open.
Hi, Coach. In looking back at the career of Tim Duncan, and just if you were at Wake Forest, how would you go about honoring his career around the program moving forward?
Well, I think he's already honored Wake Forest's program by being the type player that he turned out to be and being the type person that he turned out to be. From his standpoint, I think he has been a wonderful ambassador of a great university in Wake Forest. And, you know, from Wake Forest's standpoint, I think they have been so appreciative of and proud of everything that Tim has done and the way he's done it. And so, you know, I think when you look at it, it's been a perfect marriage. Tim, as everyone knows, came off of the island of St. Croix and very small environment, atmosphere. And at that time, Wake Forest, you know, was committed to staying pretty much 3,000 undergraduate, 5,000 total students. And that was a perfect atmosphere for him. And he came there, and as we all know, history tells us, got his degree in 4 years, was very comfortable there in a very collegial environment, and he really thrived. So I think it was just a great thing, and the two, I think, will continue to honor each other by staying in touch with each other. Tim obviously will control that, but I know he's very happy in San Antonio. He's got a home there. I would expect him to stay there part of the year, and I know he's got a home in St. Croix. And I know he'll be there part of the year, and I hope in time he'll find his way back to Winston-Salem, and I know he'll do that as he feels is appropriate.
All right, Coach, we appreciate your time today, and we look forward to seeing you soon, and thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dan.
Thanks, Coach. The next coach on today's call is Tennessee's Rick Barnes, who enters his second season with the Volunteers. He has won more than 600 career games in 22 seasons as a head coach and will become the first to coach three different teams at the Maui Jim Maui Invitational. This will mark Tennessee's third appearance in the annual event. The Volunteers will face Wisconsin in their opening round matchup. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for taking some time today. Mm-hmm. If you want to start off with a quick opening statement on your opening round matchup against the Badgers and the field in general, then we'll take some questions.
Well, we obviously going to have a very young basketball team. We have actually 9 new members of our team, and you know, one of them, Lamonte Turner, sat out a year ago, so he's familiar with our program. But we're excited about our guys. You know, we really are. We're excited about this group. When you think about the upperclassmen, Robert Hubbs, Dietrich Mostella, and we have a fifth-year Lou Evans who came in from Utah State, and that's pretty much our upperclassmen. But we've worked hard this summer. The guys are working hard. They're making that adjustment. And you look at the field, I think it's a great field. But Maui always has a great field, and for us it's going to be an unbelievable challenge. I mean, when you look at Wisconsin and who they have coming back and the way they finished last year, you know, making a run to the Sweet 16. And so we know that's going to be an incredible challenge for us. And then obviously we're in that bracket with Georgetown and Oregon, you know, two programs that we have great respect for. But it will be an unbelievable learning experience for our kids, our program, our players. And I think tournaments like this only help you really, truly to evaluate where you are, and really some ways reality sets in where you are. And so it's going to be one that, again, I think our players will look forward to.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call to media.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That is star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. Okay, this is a question from Grant Rainey with New Sentinel. Your line is open.
Rick, how much of a challenge is it not just Nigel Hayes in Wisconsin, but it being a 9:30 a.m. game local time?
Well, it is. You know, I'm looking at the brackets and the time. I mean, you know, 9:30 is early. Then I'm looking at both of the other bracket too. And then, you know, obviously, if you lose a game, it's 8:30 the next morning. And then if you get in that loser side, then 10:30. So you're playing all morning games. But and then when you look the other way, you know, it's still if you get through that first one, it's a 3 p.m. game and then 4:30. But you know, that's the way it was bracketed out. That's the way it has to be. And again, I think players are resilient. I do think that it's something that we get up early anyway. We do a lot of work in the morning, so I don't think that'll be that big of an adjustment. We get there, get settled in, and it's the same for everybody. But it's the way it is when you travel to Hawaii. We know that the time changes are different, but again, that settles in for everybody.
Your next question comes from Jim Polson with Wisconsin State Journal. Your line is open.
Rick, you had a couple of competitive games against Wisconsin back when you were at Texas. What do you remember from those matchups?
Well, I've always had great respect. You know, obviously, Bo and I, when we decide to do it, and when we schedule like that out of league, it really stems from just having great respect for the coaching staff and the program itself. And we did that. We had a couple, you know, epic battles there. I can remember when they beat us in Austin, and I remember Bo shaking my hand and telling me, he said, I know it's a tough loss, but believe me, we needed it more than you do right now. And then when we went up the following year and we beat them when someone, Gary Johnson, banked in a elbow jump shot to win the game, and I looked at him up, and I didn't say it, but I was thinking the same thing. You know, we needed this one a whole lot more than you did tonight. But we've had some great battles with them. And, again, we've got great respect for the Wisconsin program. And, you know, when you look at them now, I mean, you know, there's just no doubt that Greg still does a great job. I mean, you watch what they did last year, the way they came on. I think it's for a guy that has been with the program, the transition was a great one, and he certainly is going to have many, many more years of great success.
Your next question comes from Grant Rainey with New Sentinel. Your line is open.
Rick, I think this is the first time we talked to you since your full non-conference schedule is out. What do you think of it top to bottom, and then also what have you seen from Lou Evans since he got to work in Knoxville?
Well, schedule-wise, I mean, I think it will play out as one of the toughest in the country when you get down to it. But we've always said that, you know, we don't want to be there in a position if we're able to get ourselves in position to be in the NCAA tournament, which we fully expect to do. And we want our schedule to mirror what a big-time basketball program should look like. And I think to do that, you got to be willing to travel and play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And so that's what we want it to look like. And we were just talking about it for the following year and the following year. We want to play and be known for playing one of the best schedules in the country every year. But Lou, as you would imagine, coming in a month later than everybody else and them having a month of conditioning under him, he's making that adjustment. He's just what we thought he would be. He's got a great feel for the game, and he's going to blend in just unbelievably with his teammates, and they like him, and they know that he's going to compete and bring some skill level to us that we need. And but right now, the main thing is to get him in the kind of shape that he needs to be in.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
We have time for one more question for Coach.
Again, press star 1 if you have a question. There are no further questions at this time.
All right,
thank
Coach,
you.
Looks like you're all set. Thanks for joining us,
thank
and
you.
Have a
thank
great
you.
Rest of your summer. Take care.
Thank you.
The next coach on today's call is Oregon's Dana Altman. This will be Oregon's second all-time appearance at the Maui Jim Maui Invitational, having last appeared in 2008. Altman enters his seventh season with the Ducks and led the team to a number one seed in the Elite Eight last year. Oregon will take on Georgetown on day one of the tournament. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And if you'd like to get things started with a quick opening statement regarding your opening round matchup and the rest of the field, and we'll take questions for the media.
Well, it's an outstanding field, and we're very excited to be part of it. We were able to play Georgetown 3 years ago in Korea and had a really tough game with them over there for the servicemen. And so it's we know they're an awfully good ball club. From what I understand, they've got a lot of players back. We have a good core group coming back. And as I look at the field, that's probably the exciting thing about it. Wisconsin, with all their players back, there are a lot of teams with a lot of experience and good programs, good coaches. So we're excited to be part of the field. North Carolina, obviously, coming off a game in the national championship. Wisconsin, Sweet 16. We had a nice year. Should be a very, very competitive field, and we're very excited about being part of it.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call to the media.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, your first question comes from Brad Sherman with Maui News. Your line is open.
Hi, Coach. How are you doing?
Hi, Brad.
Going into the season, I don't think it's really unfair to say there's going to be some pretty high expectations with your team, especially, like as you mentioned, with the player that you have coming back. How much do you sort of try to shield the team from that? And how much do you want your players to say, hey, we embrace, big expectations?
Well, it's a new experience for us. We've gone into each of the last six seasons, not projected to do very well in our own conference. And now we've got maybe some predictions on a national scale and definitely within the Pac-12. So it is new area for us. We're going to try to help our players through it. It's tough fighting those expectations, and sometimes it's much harder to maintain a certain level of success than it is to achieve it. So we definitely will have some obstacles to overcome there, and trying to get our guys in the right frame of mind to compete at a level. But this tournament will do us a lot of good in that regard, Brad, with all the teams. Game in, game out, there's going to be great competition there. And so a tournament like this early in the year will definitely help us. We've got to go to Baylor before we make the trip to Maui. So, I think we'll be well prepared.
Thanks very much. Looking forward to seeing you out here.
Great.
Your next question comes from Steve Mins with Register Guard. Your line is open.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Steve.
Couple things. Just first off, you mentioned that 2013. What do you kind of remember? Obviously, both teams are a little different, but just kind of playing Georgetown in the style and what you recall from that game.
Well, I remember the physicality of the game. Georgetown prides itself on, being a physical basketball team, and, we're going to have to match that physicality. I thought, a few years ago we did a good job of keeping the floor spread and being able to, we scored some points, but we had a hard time stopping them also. So we know we'll have our hands full. But again, the thing that I remember most from that game was the physical nature of it. And, I know they've got a lot of experience back and we're an experienced team and, an older team. So I think both teams, will get after the rebounding. I think that'll be a big key, and just the physical nature of the game will be, big part of the outcome.
Is Dylan Brooks, has he been dealing with an injury this off season?
Yeah, Dylan has had a problem with his foot, and we've held him out. You know, it's still under evaluation and see what the next step is, Steve. But he has not been working out with the team here during the first summer school session.
Is it a concern that it could be something into the season, or is it something you feel like?
It's too early to tell. I haven't heard from the doctors one way or another. So as soon as we know something for sure, we'll make a release. But just trying to give he and the doctors time to figure out which way they want to go.
Is it broken?
I have no idea. It's okay. Not broken. It's a reaction, but it's not broken, no.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Matt Prim with 24/7 Sports. Your line is open.
Hi, Coach.
Good morning.
Just getting your thoughts on playing this difficult of a field on top of your other non-conference games that you mentioned, Baylor, and how that all molds into an RPI, and how much of a factor that went into your non-conference schedule for you?
Well, I think all coaches, try to schedule to the level of experience and talent that they have. This happened just to work out. Coach Odom called me, a number of years ago, and we talked about the tournament a couple different years, and this is just the year that Dave decided to invite us. So it worked out okay for us. I think it worked out okay for the tournament. Our other games, Matt, we try to schedule, to challenge our team. From a coaching perspective, you don't want to beat them down and overschedule them, but, this is an experienced team, and, we need to challenge it, and this tournament obviously will do that, going on the road to Baylor and some of our other non-conference games will definitely, prepare us for a Pac-12 that I think will be very good again.
Thanks. We have time for one more question for Coach. I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
And we have time for one more question for Coach.
You can press star one if you have a question.
All right. Seeing no further questions, Coach, we'll go ahead and let you go. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
All righty. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next coach on today's call is Chaminade's Eric Bovaird. Coach is entering his sixth season at Chaminade and returns four of his top five scorers from last year's squad, including three All-Pac West performers. The Silver Swords will face North Carolina in its opening game of the tournament. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Aloha. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. If you want to give us a quick opening statement regarding your opening round matchup and maybe this year's field, then we'll take some questions.
Yes. Well, I got up early this morning. I'm in Las Vegas right now and noticed that we played North Carolina in the opening game. And that's very interesting. Obviously, a huge challenge for us coming off of a great season last year they had and returning some very good players. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a huge challenge, but I really like Roy Williams and what they do at North Carolina. So we're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call for questions.
If you have a question at this time, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Brad Sherman with Maui News. Your line is open.
Hi, Eric. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, yeah. Good to hear from you.
In years past, sort of, it seems like if there's a trend that runs through when Chaminade pulls off an upset, it's having a pretty experienced team. You've got some guys coming back, but I was wondering in particular, Dantley Walker, who obviously has experience playing, at the D1 level, and is a little bit older after going on the mission. Does he have a particular sort of role of helping the team maybe keep a little bit of an even keel, being a guy who's maybe been there and done that a little bit more?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's an older kid. He's probably a 23, 24-year-old junior for us next year. And, he's been around and has had a lot of experience, and the guys have a lot of respect for him. And, he didn't have the greatest season for us last year, but I'm hoping for big things for him this year. He's an incredible shooter, and I think he's going to be a valuable player for us. We also have, you know, Sam Daly was a starter at Grand Canyon, a Division One, and you know, he'll be a senior for us. He has a lot of experience. So, yeah, this is the best team that we've had in the past 3 years, and I'm looking forward to see what they can do.
We're looking forward to it too.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Coach, I'll jump in here with a quick one. I know you mentioned you talked about Dantley a little bit, but you do return a number of some key performers from last year. Talk about the experience of them coming into their senior years now and how that'll help your team going forward this season.
Yeah, well, first off, it starts with Kawani. He'll be a four-year starter for us. He's one of the best players in our league. Incredibly versatile. He can do everything on the offensive end and defensive end. He's going to be what makes us go. I need to find a way to get him more shots and put him in positions that he can even be more effective offensively. He shoots great from the 3-point line, can take the ball to the hoop. So it starts with him. And then we, Rondell Goodwin had some really good games for us and some not so good games for us last season. But he is a very key player for us. And he's got a unique ability to score the basketball. And when he wants to get after it defensively, he's really, really tough. And Kieran Shastri is also going to be a 4-year starter for us. He's one of the best shooters that I've ever had. He's bigger. He's stronger. You know, after 3 years, he's really found his niche. And, I'm looking forward to big things from those four seniors. And also signed some very key players. We have a kid by the name of Austin Pope coming in that was a really good player at Northern Idaho Junior College a couple years ago, and he's going to be a key player, along with, for the first time, I have a coaching a 7-footer, Nathan Pollard from Utah, transfer from Rice. That'll be a unique experience for me. I've never coached anybody over, I think, 6'9", so I'm interested. Hopefully he'll provide us a little, you know, interior defense and rebounding, what we struggled with the most last year.
We have time for one or two more questions for Coach.
Again, press star 1 if you have a question.
Eric, Dave Odom, you face a unique challenge every year of being kind of the underdog in all three of your games, regardless of who you play. I was just wondering, do you talk to your team about that prior to the tournament, or do you just kind of play it out and see where it goes and try to have some fun with it? I know your fans do a great job of following you and supporting you no matter what the outcome, but, you know, as a coach, you've got a little bit of a different challenge. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I think you need to take a realistic approach. You know, I sit down, and like last year, we saw we had Kansas in the opening game, and, you know, Kansas is one of the best teams that I've ever seen personally live in front of me. And, you know, I tell them, you know, it's going to be an incredible challenge. We're going to, you know, each person's going to have to probably play their best game that they've ever played for us to have a chance. You know, I like for our guys to know that, you know, at least we have a chance. You know, we get this opportunity that a lot of other Division II schools do not get. So we pride ourselves in at least having that opportunity. And, hey, it's a 40-minute game, I tell them. You know, anything can happen. It's not like we got to play these guys, you know, 10 times and beat them in conference play. And we just have to try to beat them for 40 minutes and just try to play the best we can for 40. You know, our guys, we have nothing to lose. You know, when you look at a matchup like against North Carolina, I don't think anybody would pick us to beat them. But, you know, our guys, this is what they've been looking forward to all their lives, the opportunity. None of my guys got.
There are no further questions at this time.
All right, very good. Coach, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us this morning, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
The final coach on today's call is Oklahoma State's Brad Underwood, who is entering his first season in Stillwater. The Cowboys will participate in their second Maui Jim Maui Invitational, having last appeared in 2007. Coach Underwood spent the last three seasons at Stephen F. Austin, where he compiled an impressive 89-14 overall record. Oklahoma State will take on UConn on day one of the tournament. Aloha, Coach, and thank you for joining us.
Aloha. Thank you.
Coach, if you want to get things started off with an opening statement regarding your opening round matchup against UConn, and then we'll take some questions.
Well, obviously, we're excited to be a part of one of the great events in college basketball, and to do that against an opponent with the great tradition, with the great a great program, a program that was a national champion a few years ago. We're very excited. We're looking forward to the opportunity, and this is one of the elite fields that I've seen in some time, and to be a part of that is great for our program. Our kids are excited about it, as well as our fans, and it'll be a great challenge, and we'll find out very early where we're at, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Thanks, Coach. At this time, we'll open up the call for questions.
If you have a question at this time, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Coach, I'll go ahead and get some things started here. In your first year at Oklahoma State, what are some things that you're looking to do in this summer to kind of put your stamp on the program?
Well, I think we're continuing to build relationships with our players. That's one of the biggest challenges that any new coach has is we return a great deal. We've got two guys that were key elements in Phil Forte and Juwan Evans that were coming off injury. Getting them healthy is a priority. Then just, kind of establishing our culture, our way of doing things. Then we've done very little in terms of actual X's and O's, but just setting a culture and how we're going to do things has been priority one since we've gotten the job, and we'll continue to expand that. But without great relationships and getting to know and finding out what our young people's goals are and how we can help them, that's been priority one.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Ken Davis with todaysyou.com. Your line is open.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
What was it like to wake up this morning and see UConn and North Carolina in your half of the bracket?
It made for an interesting individual at 7 a.m., but we're excited. There's going to be no easy games in this, and we know that. I think that you've got you're one of the outstanding coaches and a guy who's proven very quickly in Kevin Ollie how good a coach he is. They return a great number of people. We did a little pre-scout last year on North Carolina, and obviously the success that they had, and the culture and history of their program speaks for itself. So we've got two great challenges, two that we're excited about. They're great opportunities, and we'll start everything off with UConn, and we know we're going to have to play very well, and we're going to go up against an extremely well-coached team who's got a great deal of experience.
When you get a team like that that's kind of a stranger to you personally, I mean, I don't remember you playing. You haven't played UConn.
They've not.
Stephen, yeah. And then they've lost some people, but they've also brought in one of the top recruiting classes. How do you get a feel for who they are? Do you have to kind of wait to see some of the early season games before they get out there, or what?
Yeah, I think, I think we'll look at tendencies that they liked last year. Maybe you pick up some coaching philosophy stuff that certain ways that they play or certain things that they like, but until you actually start seeing how that team is molded, how Kevin decides to put them together, everybody tweaks little things during the course of from one season to the next. So, you know, we'll have a little bit of time. We won't have a lot. But, you know, I think early on, I'm probably more concerned about how our team handles situations and how we're performing and how we're doing. But we'll get an opportunity to strategize a little bit. But, again, being first year, being probably just as concerned with how we're doing things as much as our opponents here are early on.
Right. How do you feel the transition has gone so far? You've been pretty well received in Stillwater?
It's been unbelievable. The people of Stillwater, the people of the great state of Oklahoma have been unbelievable. And most importantly, the reception in the locker room has been great. You know, I'm very fortunate because I've got two seniors in Phil Forte and Leighton Hammond that want to have success. They want to go out the right way. And those are guys that have had a lot of success throughout their career, but haven't gone deep enough into postseason. And, you know, that's what we're trying to work every day to help them achieve. And their leadership is going to be a big, big key for our growth this season. And we have some young guys and they've got to follow their lead.
Thanks, Coach.
We have time for one or two more questions for Coach.
Again, if you have a question, press star one.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Coach Odom.
Yes, Brad, Dave Odom here. You know, I'm looking at the roster of coaches that are coming in, and you're the only one that is going to be taking over the program for the first time. Those of us that have been watching your teams play at Stephen F. Austin over the last several years, we've been very, very impressed with your style, the way you played offense, the way you played defense, your rebounding, the toughness. As you look at the talent available to you at Oklahoma State, can you see that carryover that you had at Stephen F. Austin? I know that's something you want. Is that something that we can expect early on, or is that something that you're going to have to build as you go along?
Dave, I think the one thing that's been probably as pleasing as anything is just that. Our guys have bought into that, and our guys are excited about the work and the culture you know, we'll see how it obviously plays out. We haven't faced adversity yet. We haven't faced an opponent. But our guys have really bought into the culture of work and their effort has been just fabulous in individual workouts this summer. So I have no complaints there. And I think it's something that we're going to try very hard to establish. I think it's something that I believe in, my staff believes in, and I think we can have that translate no matter who's in the uniform. And we've got a very, very similar team in terms of the way we took over at SFA in terms of size and or lack of. But, you know, philosophically, we're going to do some things maybe a little bit different just based on certain personnel. But, you know, the base foundation of the way we played won't change much.
All right, Coach, I know you got some meetings to attend to, so we'll go ahead and let you go. Thanks so much for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll see you in Maui.
Look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Bye-bye.
That concludes today's Maui Jim Maui Invitational Bracket Announcement Teleconference. I'd like to thank the coaches and media for joining us today. And another reminder that audio of this call will be available online at MauiInvitational.com later today. Thank you, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.